Yes.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the May 24th, 2018 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Udaly?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Colleagues, pursuant to PCC 3.02.025, Commissioner Udaly is participating by telephone because of illness, and without Commissioner Udaly's participation by telephone, there's not a sufficient number of
smart commission.
It would jeopardize the public interest, health, safety of welfare. Therefore, unless there is an objection by any member of the council, Commissioner Udaly will participate in today's hearing by teleconference for the entire council session.
Actually, I do have a problem with that. What is the health jeopardy that
I'm just reading the script. Legal counsel, can you get a clarification, please? I'm actually reading of two different ones. The first script citing state statute says without participation by telephone, there's not a sufficient number of council members present to conduct all of the city's business.
Well, that's not
that
true.
Doesn't seem appropriate. The second one that I've been handed says unless there's jeopardized public interest, health, safety, or welfare, I think it's so she can participate by phone if she'd like.
Could you specify what that public health interest?
I'll leave this to legal counsel.
I apologize. I wasn't aware that there was going to be electronic communication today, so I will discuss this section. Council has typically interpreted that very broadly to allow persons who are not available to attend when they haven't. You could identify that it is in the public interest to have all the commissioners available for something as significant as the items that we have on council today. At this time, I don't have access right now to other opinions we've made on that, but we've definitely interpreted it fairly broadly in the past, and that would be up to council's.
Is my ability to appear by phone being contested right now?
I'm asking questions about it, Commissioner.
What?
Well, I'd say that my participation is in the public interest, and there are things that I want to give my opinion on and vote on today, and that's why I'm appearing by phone when I should actually be in bed.
I apologize if I appear cranky. I'm not well myself, so I got myself here.
So is there an objection or is there not an objection? I'm not hearing an objection. Is that correct? Very good. So we will continue. Legal counsel, thank you for the statement.
Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel comfortable, welcome, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with council clerk for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or first readings of ordinances. When your testimony must address the matter being considered at the time. When you're testifying, you state your name for the record and disclose if you are a lobbyist. The presiding officer determines length of testimony. It's typically 3 minutes. When you have 30 seconds, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you're in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Disruptive conduct such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping keep your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Thank you. Colleagues, yesterday we had set over item number 508 from the agenda to a 2 p.m. certain item today. Carla, could you please read item 508?
Yes. Amend the transportation fee schedule to incorporate the multimodal incentive fees for the pre-approved transportation demand management plan per City Code Chapter 17.107 and exempt affordable dwelling units from the multimodal incentive fee until June 30, 2020.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thanks, Mayor. I'll turn it over to staff, Art Pierce, Liz Horman, and Steve Hoyt Macbeth.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Let me provide a quick introduction, and then staff are going to go into more details. So a little bit of context about this specific fee. This was one that was deliberated and adopted in 2016 as part of a broader work on the transportation system plan and the comprehensive plan, and is specifically trying to help support a healthy ecosystem in our centers and corridors, specifically those mixed-use zones. And this is where we anticipate about 30% of the growth to be coming as we're looking ahead over the next 20 years, and is also areas that we're emphasizing transit service and other amenities to try to make it possible for someone to live without relying heavily on an automobile and to be able to have a lot of transportation options in those areas. This change was adopted right at tandem at the same time as when we changed increases in FAR, floor area ratio, in those areas, and also when we repealed requirements for off-street parking in that area. So there's was a very specific benefit being provided to the developers at that time to try to help with that benefit. So this is a very, very important component, we think, particularly for the people who are living in those areas, that they have the adequate tools to adjust their travel behaviors and options as they are learning how to live in a mixed-use neighborhood. So I think I'll pass it on to Steve Hoyt and Beth and Liz Horman, who can go into more details of the proposal itself.
Thanks, Art. Thank you, Commissioners, Council. So I'm going to give as Art mentioned, I'm going to give a brief history overview of this and turn it over to Liz for the kind of the details of the program. But I want to make sure first everybody recall what transportation demand management is. It's the kind of title that kind of your eyes gloss over when you hear. Essentially, it is about a group of strategies to reduce reliance on automobile trips and to encourage trips made by transit, walking, carpool, and biking. And I wanted to reiterate what today we are asking council to do. There are two things that we're asking council to do. One is to exempt affordable housing units from the multimodal incentive that within the commercial mixed-use zones. And the second, based on previous council direction, is to amend the transportation fee schedule for the remainder of this fiscal year to include the multimodal incentive, which is part of the requirements of the new code. So next slide, please. Thank you. What I wanted to reiterate is that what we're not asking council to do today is to amend the zoning code or to take new action on policy aside from the waiver of affordable housing. Council already took that action in December of 2016 as part of the update to the comprehensive plan and the transportation system plan. Council unanimously approved changes to require transportation demand management actions in the commercial mixed-use zone for developments that are of 10 units or more that are within what we define as frequent service to transit, which is a 20-minute line. Next slide, please. And again, I just wanted to reiterate what transportation demand management is. It's something that we've been doing in Portland for a long time. It's a series of strategies to reduce driving. If council members have participated in Sunday Parkways, have participated or are aware of our Smart Trips program, or of the subsidized transit programs, but both the city and thousands of employers do in our region, those are examples of transportation demand management. And then lastly, just to reiterate what Art had said earlier, the reason for creating this new requirement, one was to mitigate the transportation and parking impacts from new development along our mixed-use corridors, to reduce transportation costs behind housing. Transportation is the second highest cost that households endure. And lastly, to provide more travel options to Portlanders to help us meet our climate action goals and our congestion reduction goals. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Liz.
Great. Thank you, Steve. So before I dive into the details of our requested action today, I just want to also provide the overview of the TDM code requirements and some of the detail about developing the implementation process for that adopted code. So as Steve mentioned, this TDM requirement really applies to a very specific subset of development, which are outside the Central City Plan District, in newly designated commercial mixed-use zones, include more than 10 new dwelling units, and are located close to transit. So if a development meets all of those thresholds, then it must have a transportation demand management plan approved prior to the issuance of a building permit. So this map is really to demonstrate where those commercial mixed-use zones are located. So as you can see, that zoning is really concentrated around our main corridors and our commercial centers across the city. The comprehensive plan set the stage for this zoning to have new and denser housing, shops and services that are well-served by transit and are easily accessible by walking and bicycling. Additionally, through the comprehensive plan and mixed-use project that are talked about, developments in these zones have a lower parking requirement, which on the one hand reduces overall development costs. However, there was also a recognition that with less parking, but this access to transit, there needed to be programming in place to help people utilize those modes available to them and reduce the neighborhood parking impacts and the impacts on the transportation system. So Portland is not leading the way on tying transportation demand management to new development. There are a number of other cities that require some sort of TDM in their development or development review processes. These various ordinances from the other cities can take on many forms, from tying into zoning code requirements to building site approval processes, and are also tied to specific parking requirements for new and existing development.
I just want to state my firm objection to the implication that the great city of Portland, Oregon, is lagging behind Arlington, Virginia. Can I state that for the record?
Thank you, Commissioner. But I also want to point out that in addition to these development-related TDM requirements, the cities also have robust employer and employee-focused TDM programs, which Portland does have and is doing a great job on. So while these various TDM programs utilize different leverage points, the programs are able to work in tandem to offer TDM information and incentives to more people and thus help us move the needle towards our mode split goals, climate change goals, as well as helping mitigate the impact of more people on our transportation system. So in Portland, the zoning code outlines two options for a developer to meet their TDM plan requirement. The first is a custom TDM plan, which is a type 2 land use review process, where a developer must develop their own TDM plan, get it approved through the land use review process, and then are responsible for implementing those approved TDM strategies at occupancy. The second option is a pre-approved TDM plan, which is a much more administrative process. So the developer is subject to a one-time multimodal incentive payment for TDM incentives that will go directly back to the residents of that building that contributed the money. That's really the fee we're going to be talking about. This payment goes towards a package of multimodal incentives for the tenants. This could include value on a hot pass, bike share memberships, car share passes, things like that. Also at occupancy, a developer must allow PBOT to disseminate transportation options information and administer an annual transportation options survey of the building tenants for the first 4 years of occupancy. So it's these code requirements that were approved in 2016 by City Council, and Council subsequently directed PBOT staff to develop the administrative rules and implementation process. So PBOT staff have been working with our other bureaus over the past 8 to 10 months to really work to ensure that permits are reviewed and approved properly and in a timely manner. So at the time of adoption, the code was written that the multimodal financial incentive requirement is equal in value to an annual TriMet pass per unit. That current value is $1,100 per unit. However, as staff worked through and worked with other bureaus on implementation, concerns were raised around the impact of affordable housing. So therefore, we're proposing a separate rate for the multimodal incentive fee for affordable units in the transportation fee schedule, and then to exempt those units from the multimodal incentive fee for 2 years through June 30th, 2020. So again, just to sum up while we're here today and bringing this one piece of the implementation package to you, the current transportation fee schedule does not include the multimodal incentive fee component. So we need to amend that schedule to include the multimodal incentive fees for market rate and affordable units. And then the second component is providing this exemption for affordable units to the multimodal incentive fee element for 2 years through June 30th, 2020. And then finally, we are bringing this as an emergency today because we need this exemption for affordable housing and these lines in the transportation fee schedule to be in place as the comprehensive plan is enacted this afternoon. So, again, thank you for your time today. We do have invited testimony, but we can answer any questions now or after that piece.
Would you mind if I have two amendments I'd like to put on the table, and maybe it would be helpful to put them on the table prior to the invited testimony. Colleagues, I'd like to put two amendments on the table for your consideration. And I do this acknowledging that a tremendous amount of work has gone into shaping this ordinance long before I even sat here, and I want to be respectful of that. But I put these forward as amendments that I hope you will see as strengthening the commitment around affordable housing. But I'll let the chips fall where the chips might. So the first amendment I'd like to propose would be a Section D under the it'd be Section 2D. There is a 2C currently. This would be the addition of a D. And the amendment language would be, where exempt dwelling units are within buildings with other dwelling units subject to the multimodal incentive fee, the same multimodal incentives will be offered to all units in the building, regardless of which units generated the fee. Any unclaimed or unused incentives will be offered to the exempt unit first, to the exempt units, plural, first. The reason for that, as you know, is the cost to provide the incentive per unit and build into the pro forma of any given development is equivalent to the cost of providing a transit pass for 1 year. That's $1,100. And since the incentive is calculated on a per unit basis, any unclaimed or unused incentives, in my opinion, should first be prioritized and offered to the affordable units. And so that is the spirit in which I offer amendment language D.
Second.
There is a second.
Could I just ask a clarifying question,
Commissioner,
please?
Fritz?
I don't understand what it means by any unclaimed or unused incentives will be offered to the exempt units first. Does that mean that they only get to have them if the units that paid get first dibs?
So the way that the multimodal incentive payment comes in and is collected on a per building basis, so when at occupancy we'll go out and speak with tenants and the property managers to distribute those multimodal incentives, and so we can prioritize those units right from the get-go.
So then don't you want to just say incentives will be offered to the exempt units first? I don't understand why it says unclaimed or unused.
I think that's just perhaps with the perception that they might have been tied to the unit, in which they're not. They're by the whole building. So it would be fine to say that they will just be prioritized for those exempted units.
I would accept that as a friendly Scribner's addition.
They're deleting any unclaimed or unused, because I think that's confusing.
Very good. So there's a motion and a second on that. The second one, colleagues, would be adding amendment language paragraph E, immediately following D, obviously. The Portland Bureau of Transportation is directed to report back to the Council by September 30th, 2018, with options for how to fund an equivalent level of multimodal incentives for the exempt units for the duration of the exemption period. Funding priority will be given to buildings where all units are exempt. And the purpose for this, colleagues, is that under the current proposal, any affordable unit, 80% MFI or below, that has a covenant with the city around affordability, so 60 or 99 years, is exempt under the ordinance. We want to make sure that we balance the production of the affordable housing without cost burdening our partners with ensuring that tenants of affordable units receive the same transportation benefits as tenants of market rate units. In other words, this is a study. It's geared towards, if you think about organizations like REACH, they are currently exempt from this ordinance, so they neither pay the fee nor do they provide the passes. This is simply an ask of the Bureau of Transportation to do a hard look and see if there isn't a way to potentially fund passes for the folks in those buildings where they are exempt but living in affordable units.
I'll second.
And Commissioner Saltzman seconds that. Thank you.
Again, I have a question.
Sure.
So this only counts where all the units are exempt or where there are more exempt units than non-exempt units, because according to your First Amendment, the exempt units are going to get offered at first. So I'm not quite sure what it means equivalent.
So that would be in a building, however, where the building itself is not exempt. The project is not exempt, whereas in this case, they are completely exempt. And I don't know if staff has anything to add to that.
This would be an entirely affordable building that looking for a funding stream to be able to provide those incentives to the residents of those buildings.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't a building that doesn't have any market rate. So yes, 100% affordable units in that development.
Well, then it would be more sensible to say fund an equivalent level of incentives for buildings where all the units are exempt.
I will accept that language. I have no problems with that. Commissioner Saltzman, are you still okay
yes.
to second
yes.
it with that language correction? Very good. And now you have a panel. Very good. Thank you for your indulgence. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Commissioners. Chris Smith, Vice Chair of the Planning and Sustainability Commission, presenting the Commission's recommendation. So we considered this as part of the TSP and included it in the comp plan as you did. I think it's important to establish the context that our comp plan isn't going to work if we're not successful in a significant shift in the modal choices that people in Portland make. If we had a trip generation rate per resident at the same rate we have today in 2035, we're going to be in big trouble. And causing that transition to happen is going to take a lot of tools. It will take infrastructure, it will take new transit services, and it will take programmatic action. So this is one of the programmatic actions, and we felt it was important to root this in the zoning code so that at the time of occupancy, you're incenting the new residents to make changes in their behavior. Honestly, some of us would have preferred if it wasn't just at occupancy, if it was every new resident coming into a building got this kind of package. We don't have the economics to support that yet, but this is an important program, and I'm very much looking forward to you putting it into action. We did not look specifically at the affordability issues that you're talking about today. I would say, of course, the PSC is concerned about the cost of affordable housing, as you are. Would reflect that in some ways the dollar will go further with residents of affordable units because they are in general less likely to own automobiles. They will often also be eligible for TriMet low fare programs, so a transit pass for somebody in an affordable unit on average will probably cost less than a transit pass for somebody in a market rate unit. So appreciate your efforts to extend the benefit everywhere. I think that's important on an equity basis, but also your consciousness of the affordability issues. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Does that complete your panel? That's a heck of a panel. Thanks, Chris. You're holding down the entire table. That's good work. Do we have public testimony on this item, Carla?
I'm sorry, I did not set out a sign-up sheet.
Is there anybody here who would like to testify on this item? Could I see a show of hands if anybody is interested? Very good. Is this yes or no in the middle here? That's a no.
All right, we're here for the next item.
Very good. So, Carla, could you please call the roll then on amendment number one? And just to clarify again, that's the one that will prioritize the unclaimed or the new language that Commissioner Fritz offered, prioritizing the affordable units. Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly? Udaly?
Commissioner Udaly, are you on mute? All that work for nothing.
May have lost her. Doesn't say it's disconnected. Hello? Hello? Should we skip that?
Aye.
If I can get her reconnected.
Oh, she just voted.
Are you there? Oh, aye. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The First Amendment passes. Please call the roll on the
I'm
second.
I'm not. No one can hear me?
Now we can. Now we can hear you just fine, Commissioner Udaly. Please call the roll on the Second Amendment.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
I've been responding. It's an aye.
Okay. Udaly?
There.
I think she said aye.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. We're calling roll on the amendment number two. Hello?
So I'll just yeah.
Turn off your TV.
Was that an eye?
If she's watching Channel 30, she should turn it off.
Yeah.
There's a time lag.
Commissioner Udaly?
Yes.
Okay. Are you voting aye on the Second Amendment?
Yes.
Thank you. Wheeler?
Aye. The Second Amendment is adopted to the main motion.
Excuse me, I got cold.
Commissioner Fritz was skipped.
I'm sorry. I checked you off.
Sorry, Commissioner.
Fritz.
Aye.
Very good. Please call the motion, main motion, as amended.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you, everybody.